Hey, everybody. Anyone on?
Yeah, I'm on. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, yourself?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's good. We're the only two here?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, there's three, I think.
Oh, there's another person.
I'm on.
Hi,
hello,
this is
everybody.
Lisa.
This is Chris.
Hello.
Hey, Lisa, how are you? Hello, everybody. Sophia, are you
Hi,
on?
Chris.
We're waiting for Sophia. Okay. Everyone, welcome. We're going to wait another minute or two until when I get set up, and we're going to have more people coming on. So just hang tight.
Chris?
Yes?
You remember Patrick you had on that Saturday, right?
Yes.
I wonder, do you have contact info for his ministry?
Yes, actually, if you Google Restore Marriage International.
Okay.
Restore Marriage International, and then just put in his name, Patrick. Or somewhere on there, you'll be able to find him because he runs the men's ministry there.
All right. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Sophia, are you here yet? Okay, no, we're waiting for Sophia. Lisa is not going to make it tonight, so we're just going to be me and Sophia.
Hello?
Sophia, there she is. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm just logging in and getting everything set up.
Okie dokie.
Everyone being really patient and waiting. We're going to wait another minute or so to see.
Okay.
I'm just now posting that we're live.
Okay.
Hello, this is Warnicky with Sophia, I heard.
Hi, Warnicky.
Hi, Warnicky.
Good evening, guys.
We are all here. I'm going to be ready in one more minute. Sophia, would you like to start and kind of get us rolling?
Sure. So welcome, everybody. So if we have anybody new, a few months ago, Lisa had reached out to Chris and myself, and you know, God really placed it on her heart to start this SOS, you know, conference call just based on all of the, just a lot of the hurt and everything that's been, you know, posted on the prayer wall, and she just really felt led in her heart to start this and to give people the opportunity to actually hear a voice, you know, other individuals that are also walking through, you know, the same journey as, you know, you have been called on. So the purpose of SOS is standing on scripture, and, you know, we like to do, you know, conference calls every Thursday on different topics and just, you know, stuff that, you know, either we're going through or just stuff that we've seen on the prayer wall, and just to kind of speak of stuff that we've learned all throughout, you know, even through our journey as well, and just to kind of encourage and help others that are walking this along with us. So that's the whole purpose of standing on scripture. Chris, I don't know if you want to give out the instructions.
Sure. Well, it's a little bit different time because we're doing a Q&A. So welcome, everybody. In addition to what Sophia already said, let's see. What we would ask, though, is that you would put yourself on mute unless you have a question to ask, because the conference call will pick up a lot of background noise. We've had crazy things happen. People microwave food. People are munching on chips. Somebody, I think, was snoring at one point. So if I hear that, I'm going to have to mute you out. And if I don't go back and unmute you, then the only way to get unmuted by yourself is to actually hang up and dial back in. And but anyway, so we ask self-monitor, everyone put yourself on mute so it doesn't interrupt the flow of the conversation and whatever we're discussing. I think that's pretty much it. I think tonight we're also doing a further a continuation of the Q&A and maybe talking about spiritual warfare a little bit. And I do apologize for those of you who were on last Thursday. I did not make it. But I'm here tonight, so hopefully we could have a lot of fun. Lisa's not here, so it's, again, two from last week, two from this week. So it's pretty cool. But anyway, God bless you, everyone. Before we get into, I think Sophia wants to, we're going to do Q&A first, right? Sophia, Q&A, then you're going to do your presentation?
Yes. Should we start off with prayer first? And you can,
yes,
unless
well, I was
going to
ask,
another
yes.
male on the call.
Are there any men?
Step up and pray.
Sure. Any other men besides me? I know we got guys on here. Come on, someone. Nope? Okay. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. And Father, we want to come and humble our hearts and to you, Father, because you are the one true God. And there is no God like you anywhere. And we come before you asking, Father, that as we come into this conference call tonight, that you would be with us, join us in this conference call. Father, we ask that according to your word, if where two or more are gathered in your name, you'll be there also. So, Father, based on that word, we're inviting you to join us. And, Father, we ask that as we are sharing questions and answers and discussing our stand for our marriages, as you've called us to do, that you would speak to us and through us, through your Holy Spirit. You know each of our hearts and what we are here to hear or to be touched by your Holy Spirit. So, Father, we ask, as we humbly submit ourselves to you, Father, speak in us and through us and bless our call tonight. Let it be fruitful, that we might further your kingdom and your glory in all that we would like to do. And that's our prayer for tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So before we get started with the Q&A, I wanted to, Lisa had asked me to go ahead and extend this out to you guys. I know 2 weeks ago, if you guys were on the prayer call, on the conference call, I'm sorry, Lisa had one of her friends, which is a great woman of God, Triggs, close out in prayer. And on last week's conference call, she extended that, you know, that Ms. Triggs has a prayer call every Friday, and she wanted me to go ahead and remind you guys that tomorrow she's going to have a prayer call, and it was really placed on Ms. Triggs' heart that tomorrow's call will be on the sole purpose for those that are standing for, you know, a spouse or a son or, you know, standing for somebody. And she will be praying for restoration. So if you guys were not on last week's call, I have the phone number that you can call into along with the PIN number. And keep in mind that this call will take place at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you're on Central Standard Time, I believe that's like 8 o'clock. Am I right, Chris?
You know what? That was going to be my question, too, because I think I'm going to join that call tomorrow night. So you said 7. Yeah, so what is that, Eastern?
So
well,
I'm
Eastern 9:30 now.
That'll be 6.
If it's 7 p.m. Pacific Standard, it'll be 9 o'clock. Pacific time, yeah.
So if you guys want to write down.
It's not Pacific. I think it's Central, right?
So she's, no, they're going to be doing it. The call is at, yeah, the call will be. She will be doing the call on her end from 7 p.m. at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So make sure you guys check your time zone.
Okay.
Yeah, to make sure it aligns with the 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you guys want to write down this number along with the PIN code, you know, I'm going to give it to you guys right now. So the number is 712-770-5505. I'm going to repeat the number again, 712-770-5505. And the PIN is 251-862-459. I'm repeating the PIN again, 251-862-459.
And a pound sign, right?
Yes, and the pound sign.
Got it.
Anybody else need that repeated, or is everyone good?
Got it.
And if you need it again, just contact either Lisa or Sophia or myself, because we all have that information. Okay. Should we, Sophia, we're ready for Q&A?
Yeah, if somebody has any questions or anything, I guess we can open up with that.
I have a question. Last week's conference call, Lisa had said she wasn't sure if it had recorded. Do you know if it did? And if so, has it been posted?
It's been recorded, but not posted. I'm gonna try to do that this weekend. Last week, yes. Any other questions about our standing or, you know, what do I do in this situation, that situation, you know, husband says this, wife says that.
I have a question, actually.
Okay.
On standing. It's basically contact with the estranged spouse. I mean, mine is 400 miles away. I think I'm texting him too much because we don't really call that much. And I'm just wondering what your view is on that.
When you say you're texting too much, are you responding to his texting, reaching out to you, or are you reaching out to him?
I'm reaching out to him.
Okay. How is he responding to it?
He responds back.
Okay.
Always has. We've been separated a year now with two attempts at reconciliation that only lasted a couple weeks, and now he's the last one being about a month ago.
there's two things on that. First, always take it to the Lord and ask for the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. In all of our questions, in all of our answers, we're always going to give you the same patent answer is, pray about it, because everyone's walk is different, everyone's scenario is different. Only God, the Holy Spirit, know exactly the dynamic between you and your spouse, and the path that God is going to have you on and your spouse on, and what your reconciliation and what your restoration is going to look like. Notice, I didn't say if, I said when, right, and how it's, yeah, going to happen. So I'm speaking, yes, in past tense like it's already done. So take it to the Lord first. But one thing that I did learn early in my stand is don't give the appearance that you're reaching out to them out of need and desperation. Out of love, mm-hmm, yes. Out of concern, yes. That's okay. But if it's, check your motive for doing that. And even sometimes, you could say it's out of love, and then you become a stalker, or it's too much. But always, first and foremost, ask the Lord to give you guidance through the Holy Spirit, and just really, meditate on that.
Okay,
and
perfect. Thank you.
One thing that I do is, I'll let my wife reach out to me, and unless I have to reach out to her for, issues that we have to take care of, or our kids or something related. But aside from the essential issues, I'll let my wife reach out, and she'll reach out, and she'll, talk to me about, not really non-kid related things or non-other, essential things. And so I'll let her reach out to me, and when she does, I always make it a point to respond quickly. I treat her like my wife. I respond as a husband would to a wife, quickly, and I'm always trying to be positive and be loving, unconditionally loving. I try not to ask too many questions, because I don't want to come across like I, am prying or trying to get into her business. I'm going to give her all the space that she wants. If she wants to share things with me, that's fine. For example, tonight, she traveled to New York City tonight on business for a few days, and she's coming back. So before hopping onto this conference call, I knew she was traveling. So I sent her a text, just a brief text, happy landing. Hope everything, you got there safely and everything's, working out. Have a safe trip and, come back safely. And that's it. My wife lives, 10 minutes away. So I reached out because, concerns very short. I'm not looking for anything. I just, letting her know, I checking in to make sure she's okay. And she could respond or not respond. If she chooses to respond, great. If she continues to continue the conversation in text, great. I let her take the lead. But I've had times where, she would travel and I would send her text, to a similar text, and she didn't respond at all. So, she doesn't respond, I'm not going to go pursue it. It's just, I send her a text, she didn't respond, I leave it alone, move on. Does that help?
It helps a lot, yes. And sometimes the lack of response. I mean, he usually does respond, but when you said she doesn't respond to you sometimes I think I'm setting myself up for answers I don't want to hear, Anyway, yeah, it's something I've been praying about for a year and have to continue to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really tough when you're reaching out for the pure reason of just you love them and you're concerned. Mm-hmm. It really should not matter whether they respond or not. If they do, great, you're there, you're available. Respond back. If I come back to 1 Corinthians 13 because it is so rich, mm-hmm, with teaching us how to approach our spouses. And really, if we go back and really study 1 Corinthians 13 as it itemizes, this is what love is.
Exactly.
Nowhere in there does it say, when you're feeling this emotion or that emotion, you reach out towards your spouse or you communicate. You don't communicate from that place of that emotion, because right now, all of us, we're not in the greatest place emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
We're hurt, we're disappointed, the list goes on. But in that list, it's, unconditional love does not seek its own, does not keep a list of wrongs. It is not easily offended. So if we're not easily offended, does it matter if they reply or not? Does it matter what they say when they reply? If we're not easily offended, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether they reply or what that reply looks like. So that's really where our heart should be, in that place of 1 Corinthians 13. And the more we pray and seek the Lord to change our heart to look like that, the less they do or say affects us. Mm-hmm. It really does. You get to a point where you've got this, like I think Lisa likes to put it this way, you've got the shield of faith that it's a bubble that you're living inside that's so thick that nothing penetrates. So what your spouse says or does or doesn't say or doesn't, you know, do, we're not finding identity and validation from what they do or say, period.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's, well, so well said. So well said. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
I kind of think, like, I've talked to a couple of standers who their marriages are reconciled now. But, you know, every
cool.
once in a while they'll pop into a site that I'm on or whatever, and they give their advice or whatever it may be. But I got talking with this particular person one day, and she told me that there came a time in her stand where she just let everything go. Like, there was no sadness in her anymore. There was no more concern to reach out to her husband and things like that. And she just started taking joy in life. And,
yes.
you know, she started, you know, asking God, you know, what she could be doing for him. And he led her to helping the poor and things like that. And she even told me the day of their divorce, when it was finalized in court, she walked out of there with a big smile on her face. And, you know, and I was just amazed at that. You know, because God had put that resolve in her and to just stand firm and in belief that he was going to bring it all together. And I kind of compare that to a lot of the stuff that I read on different prayer walls and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And there's so much pain and anguish there. And it's such a rarity to come across a person that I talk to that it, God had brought them to that place where they were so carefree and taking joy in life, right?
Sophia?
Yeah, and you know, I can, I mean, that to me, you know, is part of the letting go. I feel like in the beginning, or even now, you know, a lot of people that are hurting, or that are, you know, post these hurtful, you know, that they're hurting or they don't understand, or I feel like, and I don't want this to come out the wrong way, because, you know, I was once, you know, I was there. I've been there. I know the pain all too well. But at that point is when I realized that I was still looking at my spouse to fill the void that only God can fill in me.
Yeah.
My spouse cannot, I mean, he can't, if I'm looking at him to make me happy, then I've got it all wrong. Only God can make me happy. Only God can make me whole. Jesus is my joy. And that's what we have to understand, that if we're standing just for the simple fact for this pain to go away, and our spouses are going to take that pain away, they've got it completely wrong. There's only one person that can take that pain away. There's only one person that can heal your broken heart. There's only one person that can restore you, your heart, your life back to the way he wants it to be, and that's God. And you know, that's one of the things that I see so much on the prayer wall, that these individuals are looking to their spouse to heal them, to make everything okay again, and it's not the way it should be. We should be placing God first in our hearts, in our life, and giving Him not just our marriage, but, you know, our everyday, giving Him everything, our job. You know, if we have questions of, like, you know, should I do this or should I do that, He wants us to take it to Him first. Go to Him for everything, not just our marriage restoration, for every being, every little thing in our lives. So,
well,
that I've learned in my journey, that I cannot look to my spouse or even just material things, you know. It, like women, they like to go shopping and, ooh, it's temporary fix, but, you know, I mean, that only makes you happy for a little time, and then you're back to, ooh, you know. So I cannot look at my husband or to the world or to material things to fill the void to make me happy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in fact, I was talking about that with a friend of mine that we talk often, and he's also a stander, and we were talking about that void, you know, filling it with all things that are God, right? And trying to find that joy, like find joy in life, and
mm-hmm.
just have Him lead us to whatever He may lead us to, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess last week when you and Lisa were hosting, and you know, you both spoke on you know, these particular people that are putting out their pain, and they seem not to be moving forward. You know, they're just kind of spinning their wheels, and how you two had to take a break because of where you're at right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like when I heard that, I thought, that's kind of cold-hearted. You know, because I've always felt that, you know, we should try to edify people in that place of pain. But, like, mm-hmm. I also want to say that there was a part of me that agreed with you both, because I've noticed where I've gone to those prayer walls and just to read and try and lend support, and, you know, how it really blows the wind out of my own sails. You know, it's almost like it really takes me down some days. So,
mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong. Like I, you know, I go on there and I do read some of the posts, and I always, you know, the way that I can help is praying for them. You know, praying for them is my way that I can help them. And I do sometimes post, you know, stuff on the prayer wall to try and help encourage somebody. And I've reached out to, instead of, you know, reaching out to them on the or answering or reaching out to them on the prayer wall, I'll do it. I'll email them instead, and you know, and we'll go back and forth via email, and that's, you know, that's my way of that, you know, I can help the individuals that I felt, you know, led to reach out to, and so, you know, just because you're not on there every day, but there will be some times where you'll feel led to reach out to certain individuals, and you know, you can be of help to them. And I would, you know, I'd love to not show, but kind of help them along in their journey based on what God has taught me. So
exactly,
if I can help
yeah.
anybody in that aspect, then I mean, why would I not do it? Why would I not, you know, help somebody that is going through, has gone through, you know, is going through some of the same stuff that I went through and what I've learned from it.
Right. And I agree with that. I was giving it some thought these last couple days about what you and Lisa had said. And I tend to probably lean more to what you two were saying last week. I suppose moderation, because I could find myself on these sites every day and just reading that, you know,
these people bleeding, you know, and it was really starting to wear on myself. So, you know, probably the word moderation came to mind just recently, you know, not spend so much time there.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. You know, I put a post similar to that this week where the post read something about renewing your mind. Our enemy, especially right now, the season that we're in, because we've got a lot of, you know, crazy feelings and emotions that are, you know, uncontrollable, erratic, all over the place. They're hurt. They're, you know, there's a lot of pain there. So we start out in a very sensitive place, but when we direct our focus on God and Jesus Christ, like Peter walking in the, getting out of the boat, walking on the waves, when he was focusing on Jesus, he was walking on the waves. The second he took his focus off of Jesus and ended on the waves, he started to sink. Then there's another verse in the Bible, I will keep him in perfect peace whose eyes are stayed on me. So, you know, the scripture is full of focusing on God, focusing on Jesus Christ. Our enemy is through the circumstance that we're dealing with right now, our enemy is using our present circumstances to constantly barrage us with negative thoughts, feelings, and emotions and attack us. That's why we read in the New Testament over and over again, we need to renew, we need to stay in the Word and in prayer, praying without ceasing, praying nonstop, walking with the Spirit, constantly being led by the Spirit and staying in the Word so that our minds are renewed daily. And really what that means is that that our hearts are converted the way God wants to change our hearts, that our mindset is changed, focused and redirected on God. And really, you know, you guys started talking about this being a journey in the previous question. This really does come down to it is a journey. It is a journey, and we're gonna our journey is more of one of a relationship with God and Jesus Christ, and it's a transformation. It's a transformation of our focus and attention on our spouses, our marriage, to God and God alone. With God is taking all of us on the same journey. It's gonna look a little bit different for everybody. The details might be different, but it's the same road. It's the same journey. And the destination is exactly the same, a very personal, intimate relationship with God one-on-one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these other things shall be added unto you. So how many times do we see all that? Jesus himself, he did nothing of himself unless he heard, he says, if you know, everything that I've seen, everything that I've heard my Father say and I've seen him do, I have done and I've spoken. So if you've seen me, you've seen him, because that's the answer to what the disciples were asking, saying, you know, none of us have seen the Father. Can we see him? And Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen him. So that's where that comes. You can look that up in the New Testament, one of the four Gospels. So even Jesus had that relationship with God one-on-one. And it was one-on-one, so nothing else really fazed him or affected him. He was able to have that relationship and walk with God and do what he did. That's where God wants to take all of us, to a place of a relationship with him. And like you were saying with the one couple that's restored, she was, you know, God changed her heart where she got to the point where when the divorce was finally walked through, she walked out of court, she was at peace and smiling. I could think back to December 17th when my divorce was final. Now, I don't view it as that. My mindset is my wife's still my wife. I still wear the ring, et cetera. And I still treat her like my wife. I still speak to her in that fashion. But when that went through, half an hour later, my wife and I had a conversation on the phone. And in our conversation half an hour later, we're laughing and joking about, you know, stuff. So it's, you know, God wants to take everybody to that place. And the more our hearts are transformed, the less we're impacted by what our spouse says or does, mm-hmm. or doesn't say or do, and it doesn't bother us as much. And then we can reach out to them in pure love, not reaching out to them because we need them to acknowledge us. We need them to mm-hmm. give us, you know, a sliver of hope of something somehow. Where, you know, today they say something positive and we think, oh, look, I see hope. And tomorrow they say something negative, like I'm never coming back home. I don't know what I was thinking. And all of a sudden, you know, we're on a prayer wall, you know, five different prayer walls asking for 100 different prayers. And we're calling to, you know, 20 different people in our, mm-hmm. you know, quick dial list of, you know, I need prayer and I need to talk to you. And, you know, then there's our whole day. We've lost the battle. We've lost the peace. We've lost everything. And like you, I go on a prayer walls and I see that, and there's several things that are missing there. We're repeating what Satan is saying. We're broadcasting. We're not covering our spouse's sin. We're broadcasting it all, and it's all negative. So we're spreading the negative lies on the prayer walls with everybody else. We're bringing everybody else down instead of, you know, sharing praise reports of, you know, this is what God's doing. This is, you know, God's doing here. What about all the stuff? You know, people, you know, people have jobs. They're making money. God's taking care of them financially. You know, there's always exceptions to the case, but what about all the other stuff that God's taking care of in our lives? Mm-hmm. What about the house and the clothing and the car and the jobs and the friendships and the relationships? Like, there's a thousand different things that God is doing every single day, but we're focused on this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to get carried away. It's easy to get carried away, and it comes back to, let's take our focus off of what Satan's doing, focus on God, let God do his work on our spouses, our marriage. Let's work on what God wants to change in our hearts and our life. Let's get right with God, because he'll take us. Listen, guys, if you're a Christian and you're following what God is telling you to do, God will take you to your restored marriage, because he's not a man to change his mind. He still hates divorce, and he still answers prayer, and everything that we ask in him through Jesus Christ is yes and amen. And he's not going to say, well, for you, I'm not going to restore your marriage. For this other person, I'm going to. God is not a respecter of persons. So if you're asking the Lord, because it says, if we ask anything in his name, we're told that repeatedly by Jesus himself. If you ask anything in his name, he will do it, that he might be glorified through the miracle he does in you and in your marriage and in your spouse. It is not impossible for God to touch your spouse's heart and bring him back home. He could do it tonight. He's mm-hmm. not doing it yet, because he's got stuff to work in your heart, your life, my heart, my life, Sophia's heart and life, our spouse's heart and life. He's got a plan. And there's a timing for it all. But we can walk away from that and say, well, I'm going to do it my way, or I'm tired of it. Or if we're not taking all of our cares to him, we're going to be running away in fear, in anger, in bitterness, in resentment. All of those, they're all from our enemy. God will take us there, but we've got to get on program with what he wants us to do. Submit yourself. He's the potter, we're the clay. And the more we resist him shaping us and forming us and calling us,
the longer
it
takes.
Well, in some ways, we're not different from our spouses.
Mm-hmm.
Do you honestly think?
Well, I think that's one way to look at the prayer wall, because I will say that I was one of the standers that went on there about a week and a half ago after getting a long text from my husband, which I would get every 2 weeks since he left, like telling me how he left to love himself and, you know, just basically putting our marriage where it is on me alone, and then hearing the things that he would say to our kids about me. So it's always when I'm at work. So I'm like, okay, it's always a place where I can't just walk away and, you know, text or whatever. It's like the enemy always makes it where I'm at work. And in my job as a nurse, I have to put on that face of, okay, everything is okay, I'm here for my patient. So I was one of the standers that went on the wall a week and a half ago and said, you know what, I just can't take it anymore. Like, I don't know what to do. And in that,
I was contacted by Lisa and like five, six other women, and they were encouraging me. And I came home, and thank God my kids weren't here. And I laid on my bed and I cried and I yelled out to God and I was like, "Can you please just make me not love him, like, because I just want to be happy. I don't want to be like this for the rest of my life. I don't want my kids to see me crying, and I want to be whatever it is you want me to be, but I just want to be happy." And it was like a domino effect with that word, because I read something after I got an email from Lisa, and then she texted me, and then I came across this thing, and it says, "The do what makes you happy culture is so toxic for Christians. We are not called to do what makes us happy. We're called to do what glorifies God. Christianity isn't always sunshine and happiness. It's hard work and dedication to Him, not us. Do what glorifies God." So I was like, "Okay, God, what are you trying to tell me?" Because every time I get to a point where it's like, I don't know if this is what God wants me to do, it's like He always shows me something, whether it's in a devotional, whether it's somebody out of the blue texting me, whether, I mean, I've seen license plates and it right in front of me, and it says, "To know Him." And I'm like, okay, that's nothing but God. So then I go to Monday night service at my church, because I miss church Sunday. And what is my pastor preaching about? Happiness. And he said, "God never said that you would be happy. He never promised you happiness. The word happy is mentioned in the Bible 6 times. He said it's not referred to us. God has promised us joy." So my crying out on the wall turned out to be God showing me, "I've told you, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but I've surrounded you with people. I've given you good counsel, and the Bible tells us you don't go into battle without good counsel." And, I mean, I can personally say it's one way to look at the wall. It's like, oh, my gosh, everybody's always complaining and everybody's hurting. But I look at it as that really did something for me when I went on that wall and I cried out and I was like, "I just can't do this anymore," because I'd always prided myself on not being that person that's on the wall and being negative and, you know, not asking God for a sign. And for whatever reason, that day I felt in my heart to cry out on the wall, and it turned out to be like the best thing that ever happened, because it was a domino effect of happy. That's a word that God never promised me. And that's, I keep hearing, you know, like my kids, they're big kids, so they tell me things like when they go visit their dad, "Oh, Daddy said that God just wants him to be happy." And God, like, it's just, He puts it right there, and He's like, "No, I never told you that." And and that is allowing me to see that the enemy has my husband deceived. God never said that He would make me happy. God never said He would make my husband happy. God promised me His joy. So my crying out on that wall and being like in a desperation turned out to be, you know, I text Lisa almost every day, and I text her yesterday, and I was in my car, and I'm like, I'm thinking about how good God has been to me in the last week, and I felt like a little schoolgirl who has a crush on a boy about God. I've never felt that way before. So it's one way to look at the wall is like, you know, everybody's saying, "Oh, I'm so hurt and I can't do this." But then from the perspective of, we are here to help those people, because if it had not been for Lisa or those other ladies who reached out to me, I would have been like, you know what, to heck with it, I'm done, and, you know, I'm just going to do whatever, and that is not what God called me to do.
Agreed. However, when you keep seeing the same names time and time and time again, and you see that they haven't moved forward at all, that's the people I'm talking about.
Right. I feel like we as the people who are stronger should continue to reach out, because there's one lady on the wall, and God put it on my heart, like, somebody did this for you, so you do that for somebody else. And I reached out to her, and I mean, I sent her an email, and I'm like, she's probably going to think I'm crazy because it's probably like 4 pages long. And then she was on my heart, and I went to email her, and I looked at the wall, and she was on the wall giving a praise report about her health. So, you know, it's like my perspective is that's what we're here for. It's like we're our own little family, and if somebody's constantly crying out, like, then who are we to say, oh, I'm so sick of this? Can we imagine if God said, I am so sick and tired of hearing Angie cry to me, I'm done with her. Mm-hmm. So that's
just,
my perspective.
You just corrected me.
Yeah,
that's just my perspective. I mean, I'm not saying that, I mean, because I'm still new to the standing thing, and, you know, I still have my moments where I'm like, okay, I just need to take a step back, and I just need to say a prayer, because I know that this is nothing but the enemy, and I still have my moments where I feel weak, and I'm like, oh, this is tough, but who am I to say you're whining too much, you're complaining too much? It's so easy to say, oh, yeah, I trust God, until there's nothing else to do but trust him. Like, it's so easy to say it, but it's so hard to do it. So that's just my perspective on the wall. Like, I'm so grateful for the wall, because if it weren't for the wall, I wouldn't know about this conference call. I would not have all these people reaching out to me to encourage me. And I would have literally a week and a half ago walked away and said, because I sat here and I was like, God, why am I fighting for someone who does not even care about me? If it were not for that wall, I would have walked away with that mentality of like, you know what, forget it. He can do whatever he wants to do. I'm going to go over here. And in my flesh mind thinking, I'm doing what God wants me to do if I just leave it alone. And that's not what God wants for me. I told my husband and I told God, for better or for worse, and this is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Robin. I'm sorry. I wanted to add something.
Did you have to work today?
I think she said her name was Angie, right? The one that just spoke?
It's Angela, yeah.
Okay. I won this past week, and I've been the stander for about 2 months now. And I'm a strong person, but this last weekend, it was a rough weekend. My husband had asked for the wedding ring back and pawned it for money. And, I mean, it was a really, really rough weekend for me. So I went on the wall one night, threw some stuff out there. I'm done with this. You know, why do I want to be with a person who don't want to be with me anymore? I mean, I did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cried myself to sleep. Woke up the next morning. I had in my inbox emails from everybody. I think Chris had sent me an email, maybe Lisa. Mm-hmm. I mean, Aurelia. It was just a slew of people had sent me an email. I was so overwhelmed with the support that I received that, and the night before I had tore up pictures, you know, like, okay, I'm done.
Me too, girl.
I need to file for divorce. I'm done with this. And me and my husband, we only been married almost 2 years. We've been separated for 2 months. And we don't have children. So there's, and he's moved out. So I don't really have a reason to reach out to him. When I try to reach out to him, he has me blocked on the phone, but he didn't mind coming over here asking for the wedding ring back to pawn it. So it was just a really, really bad weekend. But that morning, when I had gotten all the support I had gotten, it renewed me. It refreshed me.
Mm-hmm.
I was so overwhelmed with the support. It gave me that extra push I needed. I got back up. I'm like, okay, God. I got on my knees and repented. I knew Satan had, or the, you know, devil had kind of, you know, grabbed me for a minute. But after that, I was right back standing. I felt even guilty about the fact that was just a weekend that I had. And I think it really depends upon where we're all at in our stand. Like Andrew was saying, you know, when it's new, you're going to have those days. And if it had to take me 2 months to have one day, I think I'm allotted one day. And, I mean, I have a good support system. I have a very good friend that I call and talk to, and she's very positive, and she keeps me going. But not all the time you want to keep calling the same person, whining about your stands and all that. So I know there's people up pretty much 24/7 on the wall, and if I throw something out there and somebody comes back and say they're praying for me, just even knowing that will help me. I try not to put a lot of negative things out there, but it just seems like this past week, I would say this, the last couple of weeks has been a lot of negative. It appears to be negative, but
the same thing like Angie said, when I saw it a couple days later with other people, I started sending them messages. Hey, here, check this scripture. Look at this YouTube video.
Right.
And hope that I can do for them what they did to me. And eventually they'll get there.
For the woman that's speaking right now, what is your name? I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Robin.
Robin, I am also a standard that doesn't have children. I was I am married 2 years and 3 years standing. So I understand where you're coming from as well. And just, yeah, it's extremely hard for me too.
What was so interesting, though, someone had sent me an email. And someone sent me a funny email, and it was like 2 months. Really? You've been standing for 2 months and you can't take this? Well, I took it as a joke because it made me realize how stupid I may have seemed to a person that's been standing a year or 2 years or 10 years, right? So I kind of had to check myself. But within that email, they sent me a link to a YouTube video that I started watching. After I started watching that video, and you know how it is when you're on the Internet or looking at social media, it'll send you to another thing that you start looking at and another thing. Well, what came into my spirit was spiritual warfare. And it's so funny, Chris, you mentioned that you wanted to talk about that. So all week I've been studying spiritual warfare. So really, even within my cry of needing help for, people to uplift me, you all gave me the course of what I needed to do this week and what God was telling me I needed to study. Mm-hmm. So,
right. So because it's like a domino effect. Like, I mean, I know for me personally, I have children, but my kids are teenagers, so I really don't have a reason to reach out to my husband or him to reach out to me because they've all got iPhones. They can talk to their dad, and, he really doesn't have to say anything to me. And, I was just at a very low point, and like Robin, I've always been a very strong person, and it's just that this situation, my standing has proven to be a heavier burden than I could ever carry, and that is when I knew that this is not for me to handle. And when I felt like I had hit rock bottom and I cried out on that wall, it was nothing but the grace of God that all these women had reached out to me. And I mean, I still get emails from people and say, hey, just want to, encourage you, hope you're doing okay. If it were not for them, and I went on a family trip this past weekend, and my mom and my sisters, they all have their opinion, like, oh, you need to do this, and I wouldn't be waiting around for him. And it's hard because you look like an idiot to people when you're saying that you're standing and, like, this is what God tells me to do, because a lot of Christians are lip service only. I go to church on Sunday and I say these things, but I really in my heart don't believe it. And I, for one, can say that I used to be that person. So now that I feel like God is really doing a new thing in me and he is really showing me who he is and I'm really having a real relationship with him, I feel like at times I can understand how Noah felt when he was building this big old boat and there wasn't a drop of rain coming. Like, you look like an idiot. So, and I reached out to Lisa. I reached out to Lisa, and I told her, like, my kids have opinions because they're like, Mommy, you deserve so much better. And I try to explain to them the best I can, but they're hurting also. So I reached out to Lisa, and she said, you know what, I want to talk to you before you go on this weekend trip with your family. And that made the whole difference because I was like, I don't know how I'm going to survive this weekend with all my sisters, my children, my mom, and having to defend myself for doing what God told me to do. And it's hard because I personally, I don't know about everybody else, but there are days when I'm like, I know I look like an idiot. My kids are like, Mommy, Daddy doesn't wear his wedding band. And, we see him flirt with these ladies, and here I am wearing my wedding band and just going about, like, in my mind, it's, oh, well, he's away right now. and I look like a fool. So when I do feel that way and I do get these text messages from him, it gets me to rock bottom, and then I go on the prayer wall and I cried out, and it was just a domino effect. And I can say I've been separated from my husband now 4.5 months. We've been married, next month will be 9 years. And the last week has been totally amazing since I put that on the wall and these people reached out to me. And it was like I find myself understanding the joy that God promised me. I have not heard from my husband in almost a week. And honestly, I didn't even think about him today until this conference call when I'm talking about him. So it's one way to look at the wall as, you know, oh, people are crying out, and it's like the same people over and over again. But I thank God for the wall, because if not, I would have taken my wind down.
I would have been following the board this week
away.
If it wasn't for the wall.
Exactly. Yep. I would have been like, you know what? I'm not saying that I'm a gorgeous woman, but I'm a pretty lady, and I could go and do this and do that, but that is not what God told me. When my stand first started, I heard God's voice as clear as I'm talking to y'all, and he told me, did you not remember what I did in 3 days? And that is when I said, yes, sir. So thank God for the wall, because I had forgotten all about what God told me. Did you not see what I did in 3 days?
Yeah.
So,
can
I mean,
we,
it's one way to look at it.
Can we open the floor for any other questions that anyone else may have?
I have a question. When you're restored, is it okay to stay away from the in-laws and the other side of the family for a while, the ones that didn't support during the healing process?
I think the Charlene on the arm from the RMM ministry, they have a book on what to do after God brings your spouse back home. Check out their book. And I'm only going to default to Charlene because she's been restored and she's been on the other side of that restoration, so she could speak from experience and greater wisdom. So I'm just going to say, you know, obviously, again, pray and let the Lord lead you and guide you. But that would be another source of, you know, someone who can share their experience and wisdom having been there. So check out the RMM website. They've got that book available.
And one thing that I want to also mention, and both Chris and I have read these books, and I know I posted it on the prayer wall. I don't know if, you know, people have actually gone out and purchased them. I mean, they're available, you know, the book, or you can even do the Kindle. But for those of you who are, you know, new to standing, there's two books that I just, you know, I just read and just, you know, it's like, wow, you know. Let me pull them up. Chris, I know you know which ones I'm talking about.
Are you talking about Karen Wheaton and...
Yes, if you guys have not read Karen Wheaton's book, and it's called, I'm actually pulling it up now.
Watching the Road?
Watching the Road, Praying Your Prodigal Home. I highly recommend that you guys purchase the book or even watch her YouTube videos. She is a woman of great faith, and just to hear the way God spoke to her, which is the way that God has spoken to many of us on this call, is just mind-blowing and amazing. So if you guys can take the time to actually purchase the book, I mean, it'll be an eye-opener. It's a really good book. And then the other one is the book that her daughter wrote, which she was the prodigal, and her book is called The Way Home by Lindsay Doss. So those are two books that I really recommend for you guys to read.
The information on those books and the links are going to be on, some of you are familiar with it and some of you may not be, praisereports.org. If you go there, praisereports.org, go there, you're going to find YouTube videos of restored marriages, over 50 of them. You're going to find written testimonials of restored marriages. You'll see prodigals who give a testimony of how God brought them back, which also helps with the perspective of understanding what our husband or wife is doing, what's going on in their hearts and their minds. What are they doing? How are they dealing with all of this? What are they thinking? It gives us their perspective. You'll find that what we perceive our spouses to be doing, like they're having the best time of their lives, they're, you know, living it up, they, you know, why would they want to come back? All of that is wrong. All of that is wrong. We need to keep in mind that, I'm going off course, but go to that website. It's got the praise reports there. It's got the books under resources. It's listing the Watching the Road by Karen Wheaton, The Way Home. Great books. You've got to get them. You've got to read them. I could talk more about that, but we don't have the time to do it. Go check them out. You will be tremendously blessed. Karen Wheaton, we have some videos, YouTube videos posted on praisereports.org. Again, you'll see her, Karen Wheaton, the mom. She gives several testimonials on her standing for her daughter's marriage. Those are powerful. I go back there once in a while, and I too will watch those videos, those YouTube videos of Karen Wheaton when she, you know, shares her testimony. That woman's just anointed and very powerful with, mm-hmm. you know, her faith and her relationship with the Lord and how she stood for her daughter's marriage, because Lindsay Doss is her daughter. Very, very, very encouraging, and it will lift. It'll help build your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Sophia, I'm worried we might be running out of time because we're at the hour mark. Do you want to go ahead and start in with your?
Yeah, it's going to be really quick, and then if you want to, you know, talk a little bit about the spiritual warfare. But what I wanted to talk about today was pride, and I'm just going to read three devotionals that really spoke to me. And I feel like a lot of us, you know, in the stand, pride can also be, you know, in our stand, can lead to unforgiveness. Our hearts hardened to not forgive our spouses. So I'm going to read these three, and then when I read the last one, I'll kind of close out with a prayer, and then I'll let you go, Chris. So pride destroys. Remove every prideful area in your life. When pride rises, know that destruction is near. Pride destroys destiny. Pride is the forerunner to destruction. When you see pride functioning in the life of others, know that destruction and deterioration is near. Pride does not value wisdom. As it says in Proverbs 11:14, where no wise guidance is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Pride does not value guidance or wise counsel. Pride will derail your destiny and cause you to shipwreck. Pride isolates and will cause you to wither in the wilderness. Pride will delay your promise and keep you in bondage. Pride is the enemy's weapon to keep you in cycles. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he had also rejected thee from being king. This is from 1 Samuel 15:23. Saul's rebellion, pride, and stubbornness caused him to forfeit the kingdom. Pride will rip the kingdom out of your hand. Pride destroys and humility exalts. Choose to humble yourself. Let the word lead you. According to Strong Concordance, and the Hebrew word for haughty is gobah, which means exaltation and grandeur. One who exalts himself shall be abased, Matthew 23:12 states, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The haughty is selfish, self-centered, and absorbed. In Isaiah 14:12-15, Lucifer was haughty. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit also upon the mount of congregation. In the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Self-exaltation will always cause you to fall. Let God raise you up. Let God build you up. Let God promote you. Let God take you to the next level. God is the author and finisher of your faith and every aspect of your life, including your destiny. Let God lead your path. Your destiny and success is in His hands. He gave you the skills to accelerate, enlarge, and advance. Humble yourself and destroy pride. Notice the Bible speaks of pride as a precursor to destruction. Pride goeth before destruction. Pride is an indication that failure is near. You can't do anything without God. Your gifts, skill set, talents, and ability all come from Him. In fact, He's giving you the strength to build. He's giving you the power to advance. God is the one who releases authority on earth through man. Favor comes from God. Wisdom comes from God. He is our source. Pride is deceitful and will cause you to fall. In John 15, 4 through 6, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Don't wither and wander in the wilderness. Choose to submit and connect with God. Destroy pride. Surrender to Him. Without God, you can do nothing. And this is my prayer for all of us tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we repent and we choose to turn to you.
Amen.
Father, we surrender our hearts to you. We surrender our hands to you, Father. We surrender our skills, gifts, talents, and abilities to you. Father, we repent from every prideful action, thought, and desire. Father, we choose to humble ourselves to turn to you. In you, we are set free and let go and release every form of pride, bitterness, rejection, and anything that's not like you. Favor comes from you. Promotion comes from you. You are our source and strength. Through you, we have dominion. Without you, we are nothing. With you, we have victory. We surrender to you in every area of our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sophia. That was really good. Can I make a real quick comment on that, Sophia?
Yes.
And I'm going to try to say this in a humorous way. If the whole time that Sophia is talking about pride, if we're thinking about our spouse in connection with the pride, then we're missing the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the whole point of this is that it is so easy to look at our spouse and point fingers, look at they're doing this and look at they're doing it. It's obvious they're doing what they're doing. It's obvious that they've got pride and other things that are you know, have taken them hostage and captive by the enemy. The point, I think, of all of this is to make sure we're all on the same page. Everything that Sophia was just presenting to us on pride, we should be taking that and applying that towards our hearts and our lives.
Yes.
If we're not taking all of that and internalizing it, like, am I being prideful? If I am, where am I being prideful? Holy Spirit, help me to see what I can't see. If I've got pride in any area of my life, maybe sometimes, and some of these things I'll touch on because I know that I've felt some of these too. It's very easy to go down that path as being a stander and say, well, I'm not the one doing X, Y, and Z like my spouse, so then, you know, I'm exalting myself. You know, I'm better, I'm not doing this, or at least I'm not doing that. So it becomes very easy. Pride is one of those things that can sneak in the back door unnoticed. And because we have no idea, the back door has been left open. It'll sneak in and it'll tell us things like, well, we're, you know, it'll get us to minimize what we're doing or our involvement, or minimize something we are doing. Pride comes in many different shapes and sizes and in different ways it approaches us. So let us take that to heart, and let us ask the Lord in prayer, in our private prayers, as we're asking for the Lord to change our hearts. Start there, because I've heard this said many times, and I stand in agreement with this, that pride is probably one of the greatest sins, because that's what brought Satan down. I think Lisa mentioned that. That's one of the greatest. I don't know if it's the greatest sin, but it's one of the ones we should be on guard the most, because that's what brought Satan down. And if it brought him down, how much easier would we be as targets? So it's easy to say, well, I'm doing this and I'm not doing that, and you know, and I'm this and that. We have to be really careful how we see ourselves. And I think the constant dependency on God for all of our needs keeps us in a spirit of humility and keeps pride at bay. So that's my one comment on that, is applying it to ourselves. And I speak to myself as in the same way, because regardless of where I am in the journey, you know, I could be one day away from restoration. Doesn't matter. All of this still applies to me, because I didn't see any of the disciples in the New Testament, you know, that they became more holy or more spiritual, and yet they let their guard down against the schemes of the enemy. Because just like, you know, Sophia said, like the Bible says, pride comes before the fall. You know, so don't think of yourself, none of us should think of ourselves ever being anything. Because then our next step is tripping and falling. Okay, so that was it. Thank you for giving me the space.
Well, wasn't it pride that brought our marriages down? Like one form of pride or another, I think.
I think pride always plays a part in it, whether it's on the, you know, leaving spouse or staying spouse. Who knows? But I'm not going to say no, but yeah, sure.
Well, it makes sense then that that's got to be the first thing to go on one side or the other. I mean, it starts somewhere. God told me that a long time ago. He said you got to get rid of your pride, because that's what brought your marriage down.
Yeah.
It comes in different shapes and sizes. Yeah, and, you know, yeah, pride will lead people to infidelity. Think about that. I mean, you know, grass is greener over there. I want that. I'm better than, you know, what I've got here at home. I'm going to go to the other side where the grass is greener. And, yeah, so pride can play into that. It's going to play, but pride has to go for both in the course of, in the attempt of restoration reconciliation. Because in the course of restoration reconciliation, pride's not going to be helpful. It's going to be destructive toward that end. So it's, in, yeah, it's, but we cannot, the reason why I say we have to focus on us is that we cannot, it's not a good place to stand in judgment of your spouse if you're standing for them. Because, one, number one, you're not covering them in forgiveness and covering them in love, but at the same time, you're also standing in judgment and criticism of them, and that's not going to lead to restoration, reconciliation. So first, you know, there's a book written, you know, 20 years ago or so, maybe a little bit more. It's called, you know, why should I be, I think it's something along the lines of, why should I be the first to change? And I know my wife back then read it, and we discussed it back then. But it's somebody's got to change first. If we're standing and if we're seeking a relationship with the Lord, then let us be the ones who change first. And then God will bring our spouses back. But let us lead the way, because God's called us to stand. So let us be the first to do away with the pride and selfishness and everything else. Um, I'm not sure how much to cover on spiritual warfare. I had 2 weeks ago when I was on the call and I did spiritual warfare, I covered quite a bit, and I think that that conference call was posted on the praisereports.org website. Does anybody – forgive me for asking this, and this may sound stupid, but I'm learning. I'm learning to recognize the Holy Spirit speaking, so if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Does anybody on this conference call like have a burning question, but they're, for one reason or another, they're just not finding the courage to come forward and just ask a question? Is anybody here who's just like, you've got a burning question you want to ask, but you're just not feeling somehow, I don't know, you're not feeling like you want to ask? Somebody?
I have a question. Oh, not a burning question. Oh.
Okay.
What do you do when it's not necessarily pride or so hurt, and that hurt is just kind of, you want to shake it off, you're trying to pray it away, you're seeking for God, but you can't get rid of it. And I know it's a process in which the hurt and the pain does go away, but the person that hurt you, it's hard to face them because you're reminded of that hurt, but at the same time, you don't want to continue to be hurt. So, which direction will you go so that you can kind of protect yourself while you're healing, but at the same time, you don't want to continue to wear the victim hat?
First, again, cast all your cares upon the Lord. Okay. And I know I don't want to, just throw a scripture out there. Let me expand on that a little bit. God has given us very specific instructions. We should go into the closet, our private space, when we're alone, and just cry out to the Lord. Whatever hurt, pain you're dealing with, you've got to go there in that place and just let the Lord, just talk to the Lord. Let him hear everything, that's every hurt, every pain, everything that's on your heart. Jesus, in Hebrews 4, chapter 4, we read that Jesus is our high priest, but he's also our high priest because he can feel our pain. He can have, because he was in the flesh and walked on earth, he is a compassionate Lord. He's our Lord. He's compassionate. He will understand our pain and our hurt and our suffering. When he went over to bring Lazarus back from the dead, he cried when both Mary and Martha were coming out and the people came with them, and that he knew their pain. He knew their pain. He felt their pain, and he wept. He cried. Jesus Christ is our King, is our Lord, is our Savior. He's our healer. By his stripes we are healed. If we take our cares to him in that private place, he will supernaturally come and meet us in that place, and he will help us heal. But at the same time, if you've been doing that, here's one step further. If you've been doing that for a while and for whatever reason you feel like it's not working, nothing's changing in your heart, I'm going to challenge you to do one more thing. And this is going to be the real key here to deal with anything that's in your heart you're trying to get rid of, is prayer and fasting. Nothing's going to draw you closer spiritually to the Lord than the combination of prayer and fasting. And throughout the scripture we read, not if you do it, but when you do it. So it really is expected of us to pray and fast. There has not been any great man or woman of God who has done great things for his kingdom who prayer and fasting has not been part of their lives. It's part of their Christian walk where they do that. And there's a power that we cannot explain that comes from the combination of prayer and fasting. So if you're struggling with pride, if you're struggling with hurt, with pain, with specific things, prayer and fasting. Charlene, I think, mentioned that in one of, in a recent post or devotional. She talks about that. Go back and look on the ARMA website. But there's a lot of information on prayer and fasting out there. Look at the, go to the Bible directly, do a search on the New Testament fasting. I would encourage you to do that. God moves tremendously, and I would say he accelerates certain things or a lot of things during prayer and fasting. So if I can encourage you anything tonight, do that. Your spiritual warfare is going to be boosted by that. Your mm-hmm. A lot of things are going to happen when you pray and fast. Start out with one meal, then go to two meals, then go to, you know, three, do a whole day. Whatever, but work up to doing more and more and more, because the longer the fast, the closer you're drawing to the Lord. And he said, when we draw closer to him, he'll draw closer to us. And man, he becomes your friend. He's your God. He's your father. He's your dad, where you've got a personal, intimate relationship with him. And then he calls you friend, like he did with Abraham, who's the father of faith. Like, it doesn't get any better than that. And that's one thing I look forward to. But I hope that answered that. I know that's a long answer, and I would get long-winded sometimes with my answers. But do the secret place, the closet, the prayer closet. Do that. And then after that, if you need to take it further, do the prayer and fasting.
And one thing that helped me is that I, you know, in my prayer closet and my alone time, whether it be, you know, in my car by myself or when that hurt, you know, tries to creep back in, I say out loud, you know, Father, I release them from this, you know, prison, this hurt that I've held in my heart, and I will speak out that hurt that was caused, that you know, that person or whoever, what they did to hurt me. I speak it out loud, and I say, you know, I forgive them for the way that, the, you know, that specific thing that they had hurt me. I will speak it out loud. And, you know, maybe it'll be, you know, once a day or a few times a day, and then some, you know, recently it's just been, I hadn't had to do it. So just speak it out loud. Release them from that hurt, that prison that you have put that person or that hurt in your heart. Release it. Speak it out loud and say, I release them. I forgive them.
Okay. Thank you. I'm new to this call, but I've been doing this a long time, and I will tell you, honestly, it's all about getting your feelings under control. And I know that sounds like it's easier said than done. What I'm talking about is how you react to things. You can't control, none of us have control over what our husband or wife says or does or any of that. But when you can have control over your own feelings to the point of you don't react the same way, or when mm-hmm. something is a conflict, you praise God because you know that the devil is attacking you because something is moving. And I mm-hmm. think that I would also recommend to a lot of new standers, seriously, stay off the prayer wall. I can only say that to you because there's so much negativism on there. People get so caught up in their feelings. And one thing that we all have as standards to get our feelings under control, because feelings are temporary. Just like our spouses mm-hmm. think they're madly in love with the person they're with. They're not. It's a temporary thing. Feelings are subject to change. And if we can wrap our brains around that, I think that it makes it so much easier. And I've been doing this almost 7 years, so, you know, and I'm seeing big changes in what's going on with my husband, but I also know it's how I react to things or not react to them that makes all the difference. And I've noticed that when things are, like, really negative on the board, people have made it like a wailing wall, and I don't think that that's really the point of the wall, because then you start seeing people coming and outing out their spouses. I think Sophia said it on the wall about stop doing that, because it is, you're supposed to cover their sin, and here are people talking about what they're doing and the horrible things, and it's just not healthy. It's not going to get you to a place of being strong in the Lord, because you really should be giving it all to God. And
so, you know, Lisa, what is the solution then? Because it's, and this is Robin again, you know, what is the solution then? Because you, it's obvious, and I'm also say this, you know, and I know it is kind of like a wailing wall, and I actually went to Israel about two months ago and went and prayed on the wailing wall, and then I came back to the States and all hell broke loose for me. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I put my marriage on the wailing wall, and I come back and my husband walks away from me. You know, what are you trying to tell me here? But what is the solution, though? So here it is. You have loads of people, and I'm going to be honest. When I go through and read some of the things that they post, my heart goes out to them because, like I said, I had a moment. But where do you send them? Who helps them? Because if they feel like they can't post it there and they have this inner turmoil where they may not have anybody that they can go to, like I said, I'm fortunate enough to have a support system. But even then, I felt like I needed to post something late one night because I was just kind of going through with my thoughts. And if they don't have a place to go to, what if someone makes a decision because they don't feel like they have the support?
There isn't hardly any support out there other than what we find. Like when I first started my stand, I thought I was the only one in the world that was stupid enough to stand for their marriage. And maybe a couple, 3 months in, I started searching and I started coming across some resources. You know, the first place where I looked was within my city, and there was nothing. I went to the church, and there was nothing. And anyone that did support my wife and I in our marriage, we became yesterday's news. So, you know, I guess that's what sort of prompted me to look online. That's how I came across the few resources I have.
There isn't
a whole lot of support out there.
Anybody familiar with Covenant Keepers, Inc.? That's in, I think they're in Charlotte, North Carolina. They actually have standards groups all over the country. Some are actually... you can actually attend in person at somebody's home, and some of them are via Skype, I think they do. I used to be a member of Covenant Keepers, and I still am affiliated with them, but that is extremely helpful because you have people that you actually have personal relationships with that are in the same position. And I think that is a very, there are resources out there, and they're wonderful. I mean, they will actually, you know, I actually found a physical group that I could go to, and they have them all across the country. They have them actually in different parts of the world. So that's what I would recommend somebody who's a new standard to find, see if they can find a group, and if they're not in your town, at least you can start forming a relationship where you have weekly meetings with people, and they have conferences where you can actually go and attend them in North Carolina, or they come to different, you know, parts of the country, and they have, you know, conferences and things like that. So that is a resource I would throw out to people who are, you know, hungry to meet people that are on the same path as them.
Well, I think that the mindset is that maybe you have to look at it differently. It's just like when you're sick, if you can't get to the doctor, you go to the hospital. So the prayer wall is kind of like an emergency room. It's for those times where your pain is unbearable. You can't wait for the doctor. You can't wait to call in. So I think if everybody takes that mindset instead of, you know, it's not the best thing, because at the end of the day, you're supposed to be drawn close to God. You're supposed to read your Bible. Your whole stand is not the wall. You're supposed to be using the most instructive, greatest instruction, which is the Bible. But, yeah, you still want to get on the wall because sometimes you can encourage yourself and sometimes you can hear a word. So I think the mindset I take when I go in there, I don't take it personal because I have my own moments and I've been standing for a long time because we are fleshly people. So when I go on the wall and I see something that someone says off the wall, I just bypass it. If I can't say nothing good about it, I just move on. If it's going
all the way left, I move and try to get to the next person. I pray and say God will touch them. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes it can be a back and forth situation where somebody doesn't really want to hear, but they got to be in a place to hear. But I feel that if you don't look at it in the mindset of it's all negative, but looking in the mindset of, okay, this is an emergency room. And everyone, I remember when I was pregnant, and I was pregnant in the summer. I don't know if anybody's been pregnant in the summer, but it's the most miserable time you could ever be. And I went to the hospital back to back to back because I was, like, miserable and wanted this baby out of me. It was too hot to be carrying a baby to the point that every time I had to go, they had to check me. No matter how much they knew I wasn't ready to be in labor, they had to check me. And that's how this prayer wall is. It's that type of situation. No matter how much you may know that person is just in pain, you still need to go and just, okay, if you see that, okay, they're just going on and on and it's not nothing, but okay, just pray for them and keep moving to the next person. So it's kind of like that situation. And I just feel like this is not your one source of getting the closeness to God. It's your one source to help you realize that there's other people that have the same process and the same pain that you have. Maybe a new sander would see someone of mine, like I've been standing for a while, but I still go into my flesh. So there's never something that, oh, it's because a beginner, you just going to be always in your flesh. Because I've been standing for 2 years and I get in my flesh every now and then because I'm human.
Right.
But I feel that if we have that same mentality that, okay, this is just an emergency room. Okay, I can see this person need help. Oh, okay, I see this person may trip a couple of times. Okay, well, some people just emotional people. Some people like to have attention drawn to them. So they may call out a little more. They may go to the hospital a couple more times, and they're going to just say, hey, we're going to give them some aspirin and make them feel better. But we're going to send them on their way because we know they really don't need it. But, hey, they just want attention. So that's how I look at it, and I take that mindset. So I don't get offended if I see something. If I see people tripping on it, I just pray for them and bypass and go to the next person.
I agree. No, I agree with you. I agree. The only thing that, you know, that just hurts me is, and this is the way I look at it. If your spouse, you know, and I'm not saying I don't, you know, if your spouse were to look at that prayer wall and saw you speaking about them the way that some of these people are speaking about them, how would that look? How would that look? The only thing that hurts me is that, and my heart does go out to all of these people, and I do the same thing that you do. I see it, I pray for them, and I just keep it moving, you know, go to the next. But when I see somebody say, my husband's a narcissist and this and that, like, how is that covering your spouse in love?
Yep.
Like, I agree. You know,
but like we said, you have to look back to see where their stance is. If this is a new standard,
and I agree, but the thing is that some of these people have been claiming to be standing for 5 years, 6 years. So that's the only thing that, you know, that I've seen that they've been standing for a long time. And like I said, everybody's in a different journey. You know, and I totally respect that. We're all in different places, and I respect that. I see that, and my heart hurts for each and every one individual. There's times where I've read these, and I seriously, I cry because it hurts me to see them going through this.
And I think that's when you have to speak in love. I think I remember one time I had this lady that was, I was at the laundromat, and this lady was washing clothes, and her daughter was, I had to be about between those ages. I can't remember right now. And she was trying to get her dad on the cell phone. Her dad said he was going to pick her up, So the mom was trying to wash clothes and dry clothes, and she gave the daughter a whole handful of coins. So, and tell the daughter to go put the coins in the dryer. So the girl puts all the coins in the dryer because she never gave her instructions. She just told her to put. So she put every single coin she had in that one dryer. So when the mom comes and looks, she sees the daughter did that, and she's like, we're a quarter. She's like, I put them all in there. And she goes off and started cussing. Your daddy ain't this, blah, 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 this, da, 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 da. And you don't use up on my car, blah, 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 blah. She just cussing. Everybody getting quiet. I couldn't take it no more. I went up to her. I said, ma'am, please, do not cuss your daughter out another minute. Please, I cannot take another minute, another ounce of it. Here, take my orders, because you never gave her the instructions. You never gave it. And then let me say one more thing. Please, just listen to what I got to say. You don't have to turn her against her dad. Don't sit up there and do that. Don't talk about her dad in front of her like that. That's not the way to do it. Well, he don't do it. Still, that is not the way to do it. That is not the way to do it. Ma'am, I'm just talking to you out of love. I'm just telling you, you're going to make her resent you later. Please do not do that. And I'm just saying this out of love as a woman, to a woman. It doesn't look good for you to sit up here and cut your daughter out in front of public people, and she's just a child. You never gave her instructions. But you really, the whole point of it, and after the daughter, she sent the daughter away. I said, the point of you mad that she wants to be with her dad. But that's not your problem. And if that's not your problem, to even try to make her feel bad that she wants to be with him. And if she doesn't show up, that's not your place to talk about it. And I'm just, and she's like, you're right. But it's like you sometimes have to just pull people aside. Sometimes you can't blast people, because when you blast them, it just makes them act out more. But if you talk to them in love and pull them to the side, and I didn't make it known that everybody can hear me, but I pulled her to the side and told her enough, like, I had enough. You can't cuss her out another moment in front of me, because that's just, if it can't go down like that. She's a child. Like, why are you cussing out? Like, she's some woman on the street that you don't even know. That's your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
All because she wants to talk to her dad and she wants to be with her dad. So sometimes I feel like when people are talking like that, okay, I would never do that. I just couldn't do that type of thing of talking back about them or do anything like that. But you got some people that do, and they do things out of anger and out of frustration. And some people don't think before they speak, but then after things are done, then they feel bad about it. So sometimes if we take a different route and say, hey, like you say, email them and say, hey, you know, this is what the Lord told me to tell you. I don't know if you're going to get offended. Hope you don't, but I'm only saying out of this out of love.
Mm-hmm.
You may see that the prayer wall will die down a little bit because people are now turning it into a more of a love way of doing it instead of posting it against you on the wall so everybody else can see what you're saying. Oh, no, you shouldn't do that. But if you do it in a loving way, it may diffuse and make it more of a healing wall.
Mm-hmm.
Just
do all things in love. Absolutely. We're unfortunately, we're out of time. We're at the hour and a half mark, a little bit over. So great conversations today. Great feedback and input by everybody. We're going to go ahead and close it out of with prayer first. Do we have any men? Once again, any men? I know we have some men talk. Anybody want to close this out in prayer?
It doesn't have to be a man. If there is some of the women on the prayer call,
sure,
on the conference call that want to close us out, you know, we're.
Sure, I'll do it.
There you go. Go for it.
You guys, you pressure me. Okay. Heavenly Father, I just give thanks for this teleconference call tonight and for the conversations that we've had. I give thanks, Lord, that you've brought us all together this evening to encourage one another and to just lift each other up, Heavenly Father. Give thanks for this day you've given us. And I'll say I give thanks for my wife. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen.
All right, we plan on being back here next Thursday night, so mark your calendars, and we'll see you then. We'll see you on the prayer wall or on the conference call. Have a blessed night,
guys,
and a blessed week, you guys.
Don't forget, tomorrow is the prayer call at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time,
yes,
so if you guys jotted down the number.
We'll be there.
All righty, guys.
Okay.
Have a good
God
night.
Bless.
God bless you all.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.